defense, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
That's beating.
I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one.
There's no one around and your phone is dead. Out of the corner of your eye, you spot him.
Shia LaBeouf.
He's following you, about 30 feet back. He gets down on all fours and breaks into a sprint. He's gaining on you.
Shia LaBeouf.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around. He's almost upon you now and you can see there's blood on his face. My God, there's blood everywhere.
Running for your life from Shia LaBeouf. He's brandishing a knife, it's Shia LaBeouf. Lurking in the shadows, Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf. Living in the woods, Shia LaBeouf. Killing for sport, Shia LaBeouf. Eating all the bodies, actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Now it's dark and you seem to have lost him. But you're hopelessly lost yourself, stranded with a murderer. You creep silently through the underbrush. Aha! In the distance, a small cottage with a light on. Hope! You move stealthily toward it, but your leg! Ah! It's caught in a bear trap!
Gnawing off your leg!
Quiet, quiet.
Let me to the cottage!
Quiet, quiet.
Now you're on the doorstep. Sitting inside, Shia LaBeouf, sharpening an axe.
Shia LaBeouf,
but he doesn't hear you enter.
Shia LaBeouf,
you're sneaking up behind me. Strangling superstar Shia LaBeouf. Fighting for your life with Shia LaBeouf. Wrestling a knife for Shia LaBeouf. Stab it in his kidney. Safe at last from Shia LaBeouf.
You limp into the dark woods, blood oozing from your stump leg. You've beaten Shia LaBeouf.
Wait, he isn't dead. Shia, surprise, there's a gun to your head and death in his eyes. But you can do jujitsu. With body slam, superstar Shia LaBeouf. Legendary fight with Shia LaBeouf. Normal Tuesday night for Shia LaBeouf. You try to swing an axe at Shia LaBeouf, but blood is draining fast from your stump leg. He's dodging every swipe. He parries to the left. You cut him to the right. You catch him in the neck. You're chopping off his head now. You have just decapitated Shia LaBeouf.
His head topples to the floor, expressionless. You fall to your knees and catch your breath. You're finally safe from Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was a really interesting medley. Thanks for sharing that with us, Alyssa. Just a reminder, this is DJ Ding, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Okay, so Alyssa, did you have something prepared, I believe?
I do have something prepared. Okay, so last night I was just, you know, entertaining the designer in me. And I wanted to run some of these ideas by you.
Cool.
I wanted to know if you think it'd be worthwhile. Okay, so
Right. Number
one, and this is like an actual thing, microwaves, right?
Uh-huh.
How do they work? Because when you put food in and you punch a number, I always shoot for like a minute 30, but I don't really know what that means. Like, that just seems like a safe margin for me.
Is
it just me who struggles with this issue?
Honestly, it is not just you. Reason being, 2-3 weeks ago, I was at my friend's house, and I was...
Oh, your friend's house. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I mentioned the story to you, but basically, like, I was like, all right, I'm really hungry. I really wanted to eat a cookie, right? And we had this ice cream, so I wanted to microwave the cookie because the cookie was kind of, like, hard and stuff. So I just, like, put it in the microwave. Oh, I guess, like, 1 minute will be fine, right? I put it for 1 minute and I open it, like, the smoke detector goes off and the thing is literally on fire. Like, there was a flame coming out of the middle of the cookie. So I guess 1 minute was too much for that cookie, you know? But how can you tell?
Right, and, like, no one ever really teaches you. Like, okay, so I posted an Instagram tonight with the caption, like, does anyone know how and I don't think anyone actually knows how microwave works, and then Annie Y, uh-huh, like, commented, like, oh, put a metal spoon in and, like, see what happens.
Wait, that's a terrible idea.
Right, no, of course, and, like, I know that because, I Googled it, but here's the thing, I have definitely put, like, bowls in the microwave with, like, a fork in it before, and, like, nothing happened, but it just, like, seemed like whatever. I mean, heat up the food, I'll heat up the, like, utensil, too, it's not gonna make a difference, but...
Okay, I mean, no, the concern with, if I remember this correctly, and I read about this a long time ago, so if there are any, like, you know, physicists in the audience, jeez, please give me a break. But I believe that it isn't actually the metal that is that causes the fire that could go off in the microwave, but it's the shape of the metal. Because if you have, for example, like a fork, and, like, you have the two prongs separate from each other, when you pass the microwave through it, like, it moves around the electrons inside the fork or something, and it creates a potential difference. And I think that discharge is what, like, leads to the fire. So it depends on the shape, in other words. So I think actually a spoon would be completely safe because you don't have any points of concentration or something like that.
I get, okay, yeah. If you hold like a fork up, there'd be like little sparks. I know, I kind of know like what you're saying, but I can't articulate it using the English language right now.
Yeah, I can't articulate it using science right
but
now.
But I get
either.
It. I think we're visualizing the same like image right now. But my point is, like, imagine, I don't know if you've ever seen like retro microwaves, but they're just like, they're like super cute and they come in great colors, but they're like simple, right? Because like, you don't really use all the buttons on the microwave.
Sure.
So invention number, I'm just gonna list all seven of them to you and like tell me which one that you find most compelling. But number one is just like redesigning the microwave. It's like the boringest one on this list. Number two, color picking jewelry.
Explain.
Okay, so have you seen, I don't know if you saw, I think it came out back in either 2014 or 2016. Definitely not 2015 though, but anyway, it was I think the pen was called like Squiggle or something, but basically there was like this company came out with like this pen. I think you can actually buy one for like $90 on Amazon now. But basically what it does is it's like you hold it up to any surface and whatever color that surface is.
Oh, does it take the color?
Yeah, and like exactly matches it and then you can draw with it. Like that's incredible.
Was that like a real product or was that just like one of those Facebook videos that you go like, oh, these team of researchers have found a way to do this and like they haven't actually done it?
Right, no. I think there were like three, I like kind of looked into this today, there were like three separate companies that came out with something similar and like two of them were like basically fake and just like fancy video. Like the big one that everyone saw was like a fake one. They came up with this like incredible video, but it was just like fancy.
That's what I'd imagine.
But you can get one, I think it's like still pretty, like it's only like a certain spectrum of colors I can pick up, but still like it has, the technology exists, what I'm saying, for like, and in its like most basic form. But imagine if you had like, just like jewelry or even like color picking shoes, right? Where it's like one pair of shoes, like, and I think this would work really well for like the most basic like heel or even sneaker. And it has it's the material, it would have to be made out of like a screen, okay? Like the entire shoe or the entire heel is a screen. And then you hold it up to like any color. So let's say I'm wearing like a green shirt today and like, I don't know, pants. And like, cool. I want like green shoes to match my green shirt. I would just hold it up to my shirt, and like instantly, I have the perfect color coordinated outfit. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Maybe it's like better with jewelry, like simple looking jewelry, or like even like a watch. Can you imagine like a color picking wristband? And the color is entirely your own. Like when you think about people who want to like customize their shoes and shit, right? And like, now you have full rangeability and there is a chance that you'd go out and someone else will not have your color.
Right, because that's really interesting. I think that, yeah, the application would definitely be better in jewelry rather than shoes or clothing.
Be cheaper too, probably.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't know how that pen thing was supposed to work, but I imagine it just scans a color. And then using that color, it has like a set of different inks, and then it can like mix those to the right like capacity, right? And then you just put out ink together, right?
Yeah.
Mechanically, that's not that complicated in that you're just mixing different liquids. But if you were to do that on like the surface of a shoe, that would be more difficult because it's like you're staining it, right? Like it's like the whole thing has to be stained.
That's the thing. Like it wouldn't. It would have to be a screen. Like you'd have to be re-rendering your shoe every single time you color pick, which is what's going to make it so expensive. And also like what would make like the material kind of tricky to work with, because I mean when you think about like bendable iPhones that apparently one day will come out or like completely transparent, you know, like. I feel like, I don't know, how has that not been applied to apparel at this point? No, maybe I'm just like, I don't know, I really like shoes and also like...
I mean, I love, don't get me wrong, I love those shoes where like you wear them to clubs and like the base will light up every time you dance,
oh
you know?
My God.
No, not like the retro, not like the old like
no, I know
dotted ones, but like the newer like cool panel. I think those are super cool.
No, bring back the light up shoe. Is it back? Has it made a comeback?
I don't know. I think in a certain capacity it has.
Okay.
I'm not sure how often they're used in like frat parties.
I had glow in the dark Heelys.
Oh, when I was cool! That was, what a move,
dude.
Dope. Heelys were great. I can't believe they died out.
Honestly, like, though, they were like always kind of uncomfortable to wear, though.
They were, yeah.
So
I would always just wear them to airports because there would always be like loads of marble like floor that you could go on and you could go like really fast.
The walkways.
Yeah, those are perfect for it.
No, that's amazing. Hold up. Okay, self-strapping backpack. So have you been in those, like any of the, have you been, you know, Bill's car, right?
Yeah.
And you're sitting in it, and it's you know, the sense to, I think it may only be a thing in, like, higher-end luxury cars now, but, like, the seatbelt will kind of, like, tighten to your body to make sure that it's, like, on correctly every single time a new person sits in the seat. But imagine having that, but with backpack straps. I don't know. Very unnecessary, but still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nike has self-lacing shoes.
I think... Yeah. No, that's interesting. I think that actually could be applied to apparel. Like, I like the direction that you're going in saying, like, oh, you know, like, use these technologies in apparel. I don't think a backpack is the most, like, the best solution, like, best application of that.
Right.
But, I mean, things like jumpsuits or, like, wetsuits. I don't know. Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting.
Right? Just I don't know, clothing that will fit the way you wanted to, or like think of all the safety things.
Yeah. To me, this may be an unfair comment to make, and you can tell me that if that is the case. But to me, I feel like fashion is one of those areas where, like, from an engineering point of view, you can do like some totally unnecessary shit, and you can still sell it if you market it like right and like make it desirable and stuff like that. In the sense that you can't really do that to the same extent with conventional product, I feel.
Definitely. You know? I mean, the thing with fashion, because like brand loyalty is such a big thing, you know, like it'd be hard for me, like at least for someone who like, I feel like Adidas honestly should sponsor me like 90% of my closet. But like if, like it would be, it's hard for me still to like justify buying like, like if I'm gonna spend like an actual like solid amount of money on a pair of sneakers, I'm not gonna buy it from some like off brand like Amazon or something. You know what I mean? Like no matter how well they marketed it to me. So I feel like you really have to like, it's a hard business.
It's kind of constricting as well. Like
For sure.
If you think about like buying sports stuff, like nowadays people only ever think of Nike and Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
Like Puma, Asics, like not really so much anymore, you know?
But Puma currently is with like working with Rihanna, who recently, actually I think like 2 days ago, sued Forever 21, by the way, which is like big slash funny that Forever 21 is still a thing. But okay, wait, moving on, this is kind of funny, and I was like talking to Hyundai about this earlier, and she's like, maybe you should make this and just make it like, instead of something that you actually sell, like a performance art piece. But okay, typical scenario that women everywhere always experience, walking home or like walking to any destination and at night by yourself, scary shit, right? So imagine having, so it's a jacket that you put on when you know you're going to be like out in public by yourself in a place where like, in a place that's like not crowded, like it's going to be like kind of an isolating area. And so anytime you come into contact with something or someone that like, basically nothing should touch you. And like the minute that something does, spikes
out.
Yeah, like an actual full working like porcupine type mechanism. Just think about that, right? But like it will like, if you like touch someone while they're wearing this jacket, you're in like, your hand will have spikes.
What if you touch yourself by accident, which happens like a lot?
Right, like, there are a lot of design flaws with this issue.
Kind of, like, big design flaws.
But that's why I was like, it would work. Like, I think it'd be a cool, like, art, performance art piece thing.
Yeah.
be like a cool video. I don't know.
I mean, if you want to talk about like practical ways to make clothing protect women, I think there's a lot of like really like cool engineering like solutions, you know?
I was thinking about this a lot, but like every idea that I could really think of always made it seem like it's still like problematic for me to be like, oh, we should be creating clothing to begin with to like protect women. And like things that make it seem like, oh, you need to like these are measures that you have, you know what I mean? Like you have to take.
For sure.
Because it's like, I don't know, fucked up that
it's like implying. That, I mean, you could rephrase the product and saying like, not that you're protecting women, but protecting people who feel vulnerable.
Right.
I feel like that would get, because maybe you just live in a dangerous area or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Get one of them for your grandma who you're worried about, like that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, my grandma could kick ass. Quite terrifying. But anyway, okay. And then number six on this list is just redesigning the burger wrap. Okay.
The burger wrap.
Like the when you go get like burgers, not at like restaurants, but at like fast food places.
Oh, the way that they
and like they just
it?
Give it to you in a little thing. Have you been to it's not Shake Shack, but in Cambridge, there's this one burger place where they sell like burger sacks. It's like $10 for like 5 burgers in a sack. I don't know, great deal. But anyway,
no.
They like wrap their burgers in kind of like a diaper formation, and it's adorable and really practical, but like still doesn't solve the problem of like stuff falling all over your head. Like it's gonna be messy,
I feel like.
Right? And so I was thinking about this a lot in terms of, like, preventing the spill. And, like, what if... And this is not practical, probably. Mm. But what if you had, like... It's still paper, but you know how, like, the Ziploc works?
Right.
But you have, like, a zigzag Ziploc pouch thing that, like...
Wait, a zigzag Ziploc?
Okay. So...
Sorry, what?
It's, like... Okay, you have the zigzag... You have the zigzag wrapped around... Okay, I'm trying to like it's so clear in my mind. I don't understand why the world can't visualize it like me. It's you have a zigzag wrapped around the burger in kind of a spiral fashion. So not a zigzag, I guess, in a spiral fashion.
Okay.
Kind of like how the Ziploc bag works. And as you take bites, you like open the Ziploc. So you know how like, but it goes in like a circular motion, so you're kind of doing it like that.
Oh, so it's like a screw that rotates around.
Right there, screw would have been a better way to describe it from the beginning.
But oh, okay. Yes. So when you unwrap it kind of folds out.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Actually,
right?
That makes plenty of sense.
Doesn't it?
I mean,
I think
what's wrong with folding it the way that it currently is folded?
I mean, it's like fine, right? And I enjoy like I feel like. Eating when you eat like a burger or when you eat pizza, it has to be like kind of a grimy experience to be like
yeah,
you know, great. But I don't know, at the same time I just think I would really appreciate like sometimes like maybe I'm like I just like don't want stuff dripping all over my hands. I don't
no,
know
I mean
like,
I, fair enough
it'd be cool though, think about it.
I will think about it.
The last one,
any entrepreneurs out there, you know, get to work.
These are $1 million ideas that I'm spewing out on air right
for
now
for free.
So
wow, great
to
deal
to all of our listeners. Credit me. Okay, so the last one is a white balancing mirror.
Okay.
Which is effectively a camera, but it's kind of like a high def camera. It's basically a camera. It's basically like a selfie camera, but like think about it, right? You have this like mirror that you pop open, and as soon as you look into it, it like corrects the lighting in whatever environment you're in. I don't know, just like when you have, you know, like sometimes you look everyone looks like more flattering in like warm lighting, you know.
I wasn't aware.
Okay, well it's true, people look more flattering in dim lights because you can't actually see their facial features, but you know what I mean, like under fluorescent lighting everyone is less, or at least like your features are like amplified in a much harsher way, and imagine having like a white balancing mirror that could just correct that. I don't know, so you can see what you would actually look like in daylight. I don't know. I think it'd be worthwhile for like makeup and stuff. I really like touch a wide range of
people
with my invention list, so I just want you to know how inclusive I am.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Some good thoughts, I think.
I think so, too. There was this, like, really, like, great quote that I found on this, like, site I was on last night, too, that was, like, are you designing the product or designing the experience? Which is also so interesting, right?
Yeah.
The example was, like, the Heinz ketchup bottle. So, like, the glass ones that are, like, super impractical but beautiful to look at. And then, like, the squeezy bottles that are, like, honestly still kind of beautiful to look at, in my opinion. But, like...
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No. All right. Should we play a song?
the more you think about it, right? Yeah. Do you want to... What do you want to hit us with?
Ooh. Okay. Not Stormzy. So,
what are we supposed to listen to now?
What are we supposed to listen to? I'm going to play... Okay. We're going to play... Some Gorillaz.
Some gorillas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Cool. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Let's hit it. Okay, so we're back, and I think now we're going to talk about something a little bit more serious. So we're going to be talking about Brown Reject Gate, and so this will be difficult to explain, but hopefully I get the gist across. Tufts University has a meme page, used to be called Tufts Memes for Quirky Queens, but on the 1st of April, like many other collegiate meme pages, they changed their name to something funny. So, going along with the joke that all Tufts students are brown rejects, they chose the title, Brown Memes for Rejected Teens or something like that, just like Brown Rejects Group of something. And someone made this post, which was fairly popular, saying, you know, to imply that you could be rejected from Brown in the first place is to assume a huge amount of privilege that we have, that you can, like, even reach these, like, I don't know, these heights of institutional academic excellence. And to be honest, I'm not sure how I feel about that. And I think it kind of rubs me the wrong way. To me, it seems kind of like a continuation of, like, people attacking, like, because I think there's a difference between pointing out privilege and attacking privilege. The latter, which seemed to be what the post was all about. And in the comments also, there were just, like, so many interesting different arguments going on that, like...
No names.
I won't name names. But, like, Jesus. Yeah, so I'll read out the post because I just found it, actually. It says, unpopular opinion. Joking about being a brown reject isn't cute / quirky / humble. It's a way to assert the privilege of having a family that assumed an Ivy League education was within reach. What do you think about that? Let's start us off with that. Do you...
Okay, honestly, like, it's not like what she's saying is wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I understand what she's... I just think that there's so many things on this campus right now that are so... Like, it's very, like, either or.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, on so many debates on campus right now. I don't understand how this even began. It's a f***ing, like, memes page.
Yeah,
like, why
no,
it was necessary.
Sure.
Like, okay, there are so many jokes that are used so frequently in our meme page. Like, the Canada Goose one, which is, like, so, like... At this point, it's just, like, very... no, like, I see it and I can't even, like, fake smirk anymore. And, like, the, like, brown reject thing, like, okay, like, haha, super funny. But also, like, another, like, really, I don't know, I'm just, like, not that big of a fan of, like, self-deprecating humor either. But, like, fine.
Right.
And in terms of it being, like, okay, I think she's, like, God, it's so, because I agree with her.
Mm.
Like, what she's saying is correct, but the way that she approached it makes me feel like, like, you know, like, back in school, like, you know, like, Hong Kong had a lot of typhoons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, okay. People would be like, oh, yeah, like, this is tangential, but I'm sure, I'm telling you, it, like, relates. But they were like,
sure.
Oh, yeah, like, we have a typhoon tomorrow. It means, like, we have no school. It's, like, the equivalent of, like, a snow day in America.
Right, right,
and
yeah.
Then, like, people would be, like, really happy because, like, no one likes school, whatever. But, mm-hmm. like, and then someone will always come and be like, think of, like, all the homeless people that have to be out in the typhoon right now.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it makes me feel the same way. It's kind of like, well, yeah.
Interesting, right.
Like, that fucking sucks, of course. But at the same time, like, that's not... You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anyone, like, is trying to, like, assert their privilege by being like,
yeah.
Oh, like, I applied to Brown and got rejected.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. It's not... And I think that a lot of the time when you talk about privilege, it's in the context of that privilege means that you're oppressing another group, right?
Right.
And so I understand how, like, in, like, the idea of... You know, having schools that you know, your family income will affect basically how well you will do in getting into these sorts of schools. You know, disregarding the fact that Brown is need blind, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you have more money, like, you're likely to be more well read and more prepared to apply to college and stuff like that.
Right.
That's just like an unfortunate fact.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, who's being oppressed by the name of this meme page? Is there, like, a group of, like, people who, like, because they had, like, came from a low-income background and they were not even able to think about Brown, they're like, oh, look at these tough kids. I don't know, like, does that upset them? Are we oppressing them? I feel there's so much more serious issues in terms of oppression and privilege that, like, this just, it feels like a piss take, you know? It feels unreal.
For sure. I don't know. I mean, this is... like, this particular thing, like, the whole, like, being bitter about people, you know, joking about not getting to Brown, like, that's just a symptom to the greater problem. Like, I don't think what she's saying is, like, invalid. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is exactly, like, when you really think about it, it is, like, you know, it's, like, pretty privileged to, like, have that type of, like, mindset, or even have, like, the opportunity to consider being able to, like, apply to an Ivy League and whatever, but, like, at the same time, it wasn't the right platform.
Yeah.
And, like...
Yeah.
Clearly didn't really get anywhere.
I mean, it got a lot of places.
Well, it got a lot of, like, nowhere, like, productive.
No, I agree.
And also, like, I just feel like, what are you expecting to get out of it.
Also, yeah.
I don't know. It's like, it's not like the discourse around that entire subject. Like, I just don't think it was conducive to any sort of like positive change.
No, I agree. I mean, like, when my friend actually commented just saying, like, you know, can we have serious conversations? Like, maybe that is a subject for serious conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't the first time that the whole brown reject joke was made also, like, right. on Tufts campus, like, not just in this group. So then it's like, why do we really need to have this conversation in the meme page?
Definitely not.
Right?
Yeah.
That's just, like, not the right place. And now, I don't know if you feel finished on this topic, because we can move on to something that...
We can move on.
So amongst like the comments, some people were just trying to rile people up. I think like some people were deliberately trying to upset people.
Mm-hmm.
Among that though, this one guy who I think that he was being serious in his point. And to be honest, I semi agree with him.
Oh, I semi agree with him. This is gonna be, and I already can tell you, I don't know how to respond.
He says, unpopular opinion: wealth isn't a source of shame, and it's not the government's job to redistribute it. We're attacking some serious, like, socialist, capitalist
policies right now. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Tufts kids love to argue, like, absolutely anywhere you possibly can. What do you think?
Oh my God, Richard.
Do you feel put on a threat? I can explain how I feel,
okay,
to a certain extent.
Unpack how you feel. There are just so many layers to that statement.
Okay, I mean, like, firstly, I think that his comment misses a logistical thing, which is the government does redistribute wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, they do that in the form of taxes, in the form of public goods, right? So, you know, rich people pay more taxes, roads are made that maybe poor people didn't pay for out of their own pocket. So that money was redistributed in that sense. So I think that he's wrong. Like, you know, the government does have a job to redistribute it to a certain extent. But with that said, I think he more sort of means redistribute it, like intentionally to make sure that there isn't really a difference in class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is with these arguments is, like, you can say, oh, look at this, like, they said this, and you can take it all the way to the extreme, to the point where, like, of course it's a silly argument, but these arguments never exist in the extremities, right? They're always nuanced kind of mm-hmm. gray area lines.
I mean,
what do you think?
Okay, as honestly, like, if you're in a position of wealth, like,
mm-hmm.
you have a responsibility. Like, you can't think about it, right?
You,
like,
have a responsibility.
You have a responsibility to, like... Like, not even just, like, okay, ignore the government, whatever. Like, let's take the government out of the conversation in terms of, like, their responsibility to the mm-hmm. public first and simplify it down to just... I just, like, if you're privileged in any way, how can you not want to, like...
To undo that... To give back, you mean?
Yeah, like, I just, if you're in a position where, and not even in terms of, like, well, like, monetary wealth, like, even if you, I don't know, hold, like, if you're in, like, in a position of, like, fame,
mm-hmm.
or, like, where you have, like, a public platform and people to listen to,
yeah.
like, you have, that's a lot of pressure, but also, like, you have such a responsibility, I feel like.
That I very much agree with, yeah.
Right? To do something that, like, impacts the world in some way, because so many people would, like, do so many things to, like, be able to be in that position. I know that's my like, at the very core of, like, any type of argument relating, like, your responsibility as, like, a wealthy, privileged person, like, that always will hold for me.
So what do you do as a wealthy person? What do you want wealthy people listening to do? I mean, because that, I mean, that's what Bo's answer, right? It's a very tricky question. It's being saying, like, and to be honest, like, he says that wealth isn't a source of shame. And I think that that's a funny, it's difficult to talk about because sometimes it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people are wealthy and they didn't deserve to be wealthy and they are kind of shitty about their wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they flaunt it in distasteful ways. Maybe they mock the poor. I don't know. There are ways in which wealth is distasteful.
For sure.
And yet, there is something that I really respect about wealth that is hard earned and is enjoyed because it was hard earned. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the thing. They're like, I have so many... Okay, because the whole thing, when you really break it down, it's like, how can you... Like, we don't exist in a meritocracy, right? Like,
yeah,
there's no...
Yeah.
You can say, like, oh, like, I hard earned, like, all my money and whatever, but you still... Like you said, like, you have more money, you have more opportunities, like, you're going to be more well-educated,
mm-hmm.
and we can get into things like, I don't know, obtaining cultural capital and all those things. Like, I was, like, predisposed to, like fine arts because, like, I grew up in a wealthy... You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
there's so
for
many
sure,
things.
For sure, for sure.
So, God, I don't know. It's hard for me to be like, yeah, like they hard earned their money, they deserved it. It's hard.
I know what you mean, because I mean, saying, like, let's say we talk about Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, right?
Okay.
Both very rich men. Both worked very hard to. Very hard in this way. I mean, they really went through loads of challenges, right? To get to the point where they were able to be rich and successful in producing things that people liked and, like, totally changed the face of the earth. Now, do you feel like they deserve their money? Alternatively, do they deserve their money more or less, or do they deserve more money or less money than someone who works a 9-to-5 shift, like, I don't know, at a cashier, or maybe 9-to-5 isn't the right time, I don't know, but do you know what I mean? Like, how do you I have not worked at a cashier before, admittedly, but do you know what I mean?
No, for sure. I don't think, okay, when you start arguing about, like, whether or not one human being deserves their, like, wealth more than another human being, like, you can't get into that. You can't at all, because then you're assigning, like, you're basically like someone, one person's, like, life is worth more than another. Yeah. It's like, you absolutely cannot do that.
Yeah.
That's an impossible question. I just, like,
an immoral thing to answer.
And, like,
yeah,
honestly, if I had to take a stance, like, I'm not about to say, like, yeah, like, Steve Jobs deserves his money more than, like, the man who works at Stop and Shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, mm-hmm, that's, like, just absolutely untrue and, like, absurd to me.
Yeah. And yet, like, a lot of money is about, like, opportunity cost. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I don't know if you could say this, because I'm not the economics, like, person, right? But you could argue that money is, like, the quantifier of opportunity cost.
Yeah.
Because everything is traded in money.
Uh-huh.
And so if you have someone who's lazy and sits on their ass all day, do they deserve to be eating as nice food as someone who, you know, worked a dead graveyard shift? Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm getting at here?
Yes.
It's a tricky, it's a very, like, ethic center question.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Or morals, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand, like, okay. Ugh.
It's tough.
It is, yeah. I don't think we can talk about it in terms of, like, who deserves more. I don't think it's, like, a deserve thing. I mean, okay, like,
yeah, I mean,
that's
ideally.
That's why I'm like, okay, you have, that's why, like, if you're wealthy, like, you got, like, you're not gonna, you can give back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can all, like, everyone is in a position to a certain extent, obviously to varying extents, like,
yeah,
give back. But, like, ultimately, like, aren't we all just trying to, like, help each other out?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, right?
I, like, mean, an ideal, like, utopia that is, I suppose, realistic is that we have, like, what's the word, when you match your, like, quantity produced with, like we have enough resources for however many people. In other words, say, right now, we're all working on how to make machines. Mm-hmm. Maybe in 100 years, those machines will be able to, like, let's say we have, like, one piece of grass, and those machines will farm it for us and continually make us food. So
okay,
that food is free labor, because, you know, you've expended the money way back when. We're expending it now in the research and development stages, and you set a law saying that any person can only have, like, 2 kids.
Okay.
So the point of that being that you cap the population, because population is what screws with,
right,
mm-hmm, money, because you have so many people wanting
more
the same thing.
More
mouths to feed, exactly. Uh-huh. So if you can cap it somehow, then, and have an automated process that's, like, you know, solar powered or something, you can have a completely sustainable society where no one has to do anything all life except do whatever the hell they want.
This is, like,
what do you think?
This sounds dangerous.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's like, how much can we control these things, right?
I don't think it benefits all of society when society is doing well. Like,
right.
I don't think having a huge income gap benefits, like, a very small portion of the population.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. We can't get into, like, population control. That, like,
hey, fair. In which case, hey, let's refocus, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about wealth. So, for example, I was reading, a friend of mine is Cuban American. And he wrote this thing about this was an article I, like he wrote when Fidel Castro died. And he was basically saying, you know, all these people who are, you know, on the internet saying, oh, Fidel, what a great leader, like, because world leaders paid their respects to the Cuban people, you know, saying, oh, I'm so sorry. But he was like, hang on a minute, like, Cuban people that are able to say, have a say in this, hate Fidel Castro, right?
Right.
And so he gave this anecdote of his, I think it was his great uncle, his grandfather, who leased a cow from his great uncle way back when, saying, you know, just lend me this one cow and like I'll see what I can do with it. And he started selling milk, right? And he used the money that he used to, and he like just from this one cow he sold loads of milk, became really really like a big milk guy, I guess. Okay. Enough such that he was able to repay for the cow and buy the cow itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
He then went on, you know, continuing this business to be like the biggest milk supplier in the whole of Cuba. When Castro's communist socialist regime took over, he was imprisoned for speaking out against him. But also, the whole triangle of like efforts, I think, was also shifted.
Interesting.
I don't know if effort's the right word to use, you know? But like, hey, just looking at like that one story in a vacuum, you gotta say it. Like, that guy did not have what was fair, considering the effort that he put in. Does it make sense? Am I making sense?
Okay, hold up. So are you talking? Okay.
I'm criticizing the socialist economy that everyone in Tufts seems to want.
1:47 a.m. Tuesday.
I know, I'm so sleepy.
All right. Can you simplify your argument? Are you basically just, so you're saying milkman?
Mm-hmm.
Because all he did was basically like buy a cow and now he has this milk empire.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah.
And so
through tremendous effort on his own part, that was kind of like the point.
But he's less deserving.
Well, no, but I mean, then Castro came around, he lost all of his money, and he spoke out against him, and he got imprisoned, I believe.
So where's the injustice happening?
Well, he's in prison.
Because he spoke out against. This is.
Well, the injustice is that he worked very hard to have this, and it was all taken away from him.
Okay.
Because the government wanted to do, you know, keyword here, redistribute wealth.
Oh, okay. Now I understand what you're saying.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about redistribution of wealth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your question? Do I feel like that's...
It seems to me that, like... So, I mean, it's not a question. I'm providing a very specific example. And I'm saying, now, that example does paint a socialist economy in a bad light.
Mm-hmm. But that's an extreme.
That doesn't mean
that's like
that...
There are going to be...
It's an extreme, but this is how effort and money translates, you know?
I think, okay...
And that's why I think it's unfair to...
Yeah, no, for sure. And I know, like, obviously, like, yes, shitty for the milkman.
Yes.
Fine. I can agree with that. But at the same time, like... Benefits and costs, dude. Like, one milkman is gonna be set. Maybe, like, I don't want him in prison, but, like, if a portion of his wealth is being cut.
I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. I'm not against higher taxes, higher progressive taxes.
That just makes sense. I feel like...
What makes sense? The divesting of his wealth?
Finish what you're saying.
It's tricky, you know?
Yeah, finish what you're saying.
Just a disclaimer, because I realize that what I'm saying represents the sort of pinpoint of a party, let's say, that I do not agree with on pretty much everything.
Uh-huh.
But, so a disclaimer is that, you know, it obviously it's not so simple, and obviously I'm not saying that, like, socialism shouldn't be pursued.
No, you're offering, like, a specific example.
Yeah, and that specific example, I think, is more universal than... I'm making it out to be, because frankly speaking, I'm just talking about the translation of effort to money.
Okay, yeah. No, I understand what you're saying.
And you know, yeah, it's a tough one. And okay, so to go to another comment, to, you know, keep this relevant, go to another comment on the thread. This one girl said, oh, I can't find it right now, but she basically said something along the lines of, I am white and powerful. Oh no! I know that I'm white and I come from a rich and powerful family. I know that. She's like, all of the money that my parents earned came from like oppression, and like it was very, very weird. And I felt like she was trying to play white savior. Right, basically, right, she was right, just basically saying like, you know, I must do everything in my power to divest my income.
Right. No, I read that comment.
And divest my whiteness.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just struck me as a little bit weird. I don't know if that's the best word.
Yeah, a little bit condescending.
Like, yeah, I mean, hey, the thing is, I understand that she wasn't trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing, right? Like, she's genuinely being like, you know, say you're in a position of privilege. So mm-hmm. I'm in a position of privilege because I am heterosexual. What do we do about this? We acknowledge it, and we try and make sure that isn't a position of privilege anymore, right? Mm-hmm. By, you know, advocating for gay rights or whatever. That I don't want to simplify it like that, but that's like the gist of it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, she's basically, I think that she's trying to say the same thing.
Again, this all comes back to the fact that it's just not the correct platform. Like, this is, remember it's a meme page.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, a lot of, some of them are, like, really funny, and, like, the majority of them are, like, pretty stupid. Yeah. We can't be having this type of conversation on the meme page, you know, where, like, to begin with, the foundation was not based off of anything serious, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, okay, in terms of, like, people in general, and this has happened even in our, like, class pages where, with the whole, like, I really didn't want to get into, like, the whole, like, Greek life thing, right?
Yeah.
And, like, people, like, coming out and speaking on that, and, like, some people saying, like, you know, like, I, like, was part of Greek life, and I understand that, like, as a, like, white female, like, on both sides of the argument, you know, like, mm-hmm. I have privilege, and, like, et cetera, et cetera. This is, like, it's all about, like, I don't know, like, she, as a straight, cis, white female, in a position of, like, privilege, of power, of wealth, like, I think you just need to, like, be wary of, like, the spaces in which you feel like you have a right to say things.
Right.
Like, her comment was not, I don't know, it's true, like, I guess it's, like, better than the alternative, and of course it's better to, like, always, like, speak out, you know, rather than, like, be silent and, like, not do anything about it, but, like, just not the platform, not the place, not the time.
I mean, a friend of mine commented below her comment, you know, if you're all about divesting that income, like, here's
Venmo.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, no, Venmo. I saw that.
So funny.
That was, yeah, it was pretty, it's just, again, like,
yeah.
That's why I'm like, this page, it's great, but maybe.
Yeah.
Time and to say bye.
So, just to be more specific, I found the comment now. She says that, as someone who comes from a powerful family with a ton of money, that I and we did not earn that money, that money came off the backs of marginalized and oppressed folks. We're talking colonization and slavery and imperialism, and I did not deserve to be accepted into schools like Tufts more than anyone else. Like, if you feel guilty, you should, and it's for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the word guilt. I don't know how I feel about the word guilt. I think understanding privilege and seeking ways to balance that playing field, per se,
mm-hmm.
is one thing. And I think that guilt is another thing. Because guilt is a feeling that when you do something wrong, being born into a rich family is not a crime, right? It's not a moral crime either. You haven't done something wrong by being mm-hmm. born into it. Now you can say, oh, I want to focus my efforts now, like, you know, given this position to make something better, but that isn't wrong in itself. You know, and so that's why I take...
I don't think guilt is the right word to use in this situation either.
Yeah.
No, use your privilege and, like...
She also says, working to overthrow capitalism.
Okay, like, now she really should stop.
Let's overthrow capitalism.
No, honestly, look, like, on the very basic first level, right? If you're in any position of power, use it for good.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
I don't think there's anything complicated about that concept.
You'd think.
Yeah, but yeah. No, she definitely went on longer than she probably needed to.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, if I were to have to decide, I don't think she should have commented at all. But I don't think...
I mean, that just goes back to the space for everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stupid. I don't even know. Meme pages are interesting.
I really wonder what her parents think about the whatever she's saying about how where her parents' money comes from.
Right.
You know, that they did not earn it.
Right. I mean, that's like the...
I think her mom or dad might disagree with that.
Most messed up part of it all, right? Like, when you can really be like, you can really draw back to that.
I mean, like, what does it mean,
like,
to earn?
So many, like, kids coming from, like, old money.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to high school with, like, a bunch of people who came from, like, old money. You know?
Yeah,
it's like,
for sure.
Are you a bad person by virtue of the fact that you were born into this, like,
of course not.
Right? It's, I don't know, it's complicated.
It's a moral gray area. I think we'll let you guys chew on that, jeez, the listeners. Alyssa, do you have any final thoughts before we move into our last song?
I guess we have like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you if you were, I guess we can do this quickly. Self-driving cars, for or against?
Personally, against. For society purposes, for. Does that make sense?
Personally against, why?
Okay. Well, personally against is just because I am a car nerd and I want to be able to drive cars.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a very simple, it's like a hobby, you know. It's like, maybe this is treading into waters that I should not tread in, but it's like guns.
Okay.
Guns,
here we go.
I think, are bad for society, right? Like, humans owning guns is just not good. You cause destruction. Obviously, that oversimplifies things. And, you know, we need people to have guns to keep things safe, but whether or not everyone should have one vis-a-vis Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Is something that I think is ridiculous, and every other developed nation shows that it's ridiculous.
Right.
Now, with that said,
but you like shooting guns as a hobby.
I fucking love guns.
Oh,
guns are so cool. You know, they're mechanical. You can see how the system works. You get like the best haptic feedback in recoil. The thing is, and also just because I think like boys often will tend to like weapons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're a kid, you try to hit each other with sticks, and like, or you know, when you grow a little older and you realize what guns are, you hold sticks like guns and pretend to shoot at people with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not something that you can help. It's, yeah, I don't know.
Is that what you did as a child? You held sticks?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was when my mom saw me doing that, like holding a stick that looked like a gun and pretending to shoot things. And she saw me doing that, and that was the point where she realized that there's no point in banning me from owning airsoft guns. Because, like, it's not like it's encouraging any violent tendencies. It's just, like...
Okay.
Does that make sense? I don't know. Maybe that's getting something too complicated.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that. I have thoughts on that.
We can talk about that.
I made swords.
You made swords, yeah.
I made swords when I was younger. Guns are... we're not going to get into it. But,
okay.
Like, self-driving... Do you have your license yet?
No.
Does it bother you that I have my license?
Absolutely. This is, like, the number one thing. Hey, disclaimer, I was shipped off to the US right when I turned 18, which is when you can get your license in Hong Kong. So I was not able to get my license. And I absolutely loathe every person who has been driving since 15 and does not appreciate it because, wow, I really want to drive.
Honestly,
it's okay. I'll sort it out this summer.
Though, that's so entirely true.
Right?
Like, that part of driving is such a big part of, like, growing up in, like, the United States especially,
yeah.
I feel like, and we never got that.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
For sure.
It breaks my heart every time I think about it.
And also, like, from the nerd side as well, like, my mom's been driving for, like, I don't know, 20, 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't know what, like, the revs are on her, like, on her speedometer. Like,
I can't believe your
what
mom
the
doesn't
heck?
Know what the revs are.
I know, what the fuck? Like,
what
it's, like, the biggest
revs,
dial.
Richard? What are the revs?
What?
What are revs?
Oh, my God. Like, the rev, like, you're... Hey, so, think of your speedometer right now.
Okay.
How many dials are you looking at?
Three.
Okay, name them all. Or describe what they do.
The speed.
Uh-huh,
the
speedometer.
RPM. Gauge,
yeah,
right?
RPM, revs per minute.
Okay, why couldn't you just say that?
That
why are you referring it to as, like, the revs?
Oh, I don't know. Like, the revolution per minute gauge. I don't know.
Okay,
like, how many revs your engine
no
is
one,
doing at
no
that
one
point.
Refers to it as
okay,
that.
At any rate, my mom was like, oh, I never noticed that dial there, even though it's, like, the largest thing on the dashboard.
That's Maggie Holmes.
Yeah, I